If you would turn in your Bibles, this morning's scripture is from 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. In the Pew Bible, it's page number 1034. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all of those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time, and for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles.
Thanks, Jim. We are just a few days away from the Thanksgiving holidays. We officially will be celebrating on Thursday, but there will be folks that will leave today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, headed to various places to share that meal. That meal that seems to be so traditionally filled with enough calories to sink a battleship. Turkey, ham, sweet potato, especially candied yams, corn, macaroni and cheese, green beans, all kinds of breads and desserts. And I guess we really need to, and this needs to be a movement in the South, because it's such a standard and come from the South, because I haven't noticed on very many menus that true Thanksgiving dish, pintos. I mean, seriously, when Columbus came over, he had the Nina, the Santa Maria, and the Pinto, right? Oh, no, the Pinta. Sorry, but when I saw the little three ships in the bulletin, it kind of triggered an odd, well, a normal reaction for me. We travel to be with family. We watch ball games, we gather around tables for blessings before the meal. Some will anyway. Blessings filled with, we thank you for, and then we dive in, sometimes even before the amen, on the blessing. We come today, and this evening, both, to focus on thankfulness. Our worship points us toward being thankful to God. Our prayers this morning and at other times, especially this week, begin with thanksgiving. But how often do we offer thanksgiving in public? We do it here, gathered together, and this is a public place, but we're family and we feel comfortable with each other. How often do we really offer thanksgiving out in public in other areas? I know I've told the story some years back. Actually, I think about 4 years ago, I went back and checked. Some of you would probably remember it if I didn't remind you, and some might not. But of the family that went out to eat at a K&W restaurant. And they got the food and they sat down, they spread it all around the table, and everybody started eating except the little girl. And she kind of sat there and she looked at her parents and she looked at her brother as they were eating, and her mom said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "Aren't we going to say the blessing?" And her dad said, "No, honey, we don't say the blessing in places like this." And she said, "You mean God doesn't come to restaurants?" At which point they had the blessing. But I wonder, how often do we skip the blessing when we're in public, in restaurants or other things? How often do we herald thanksgiving and not just at this time of the year. But how often do we herald, that is, tell out thanksgiving, the things that God does for us, and be thankful to God for others? And guess what? Thanksgiving's not just to be thankful to God for somebody else. That is, hey, I'm thankful that they're in my life, or thankful that they've done this for me. But be thankful because of others, both on their behalf and because of them. Well, the passage we're considering today opens, the author is giving a list of both practical advice for worship and for life outside the church. We most often think of this as practical advice for worship within the church. But he is also giving that for life outside the church, because for the author of 1 Timothy, just as many of the authors in the New Testament as a whole, thanksgiving and worship is not just something we do in here. Though for many people that's about the only place it takes place. But thanksgiving, I'm not talking about here, but in a lot of churches. But thanksgiving and worship is not just for in here in this room, gathered together to ask the Lord's blessings, but for when we walk out the door, and for when we go to work the next day, or go to school, or out on the playground, or at beauty pageants. I heard what happened. I hope you're okay. That's a beauty pageant. Y'all have to ask about that later. But wherever we go, our lives are to be worship. And worship not begrudgingly, but coming from a thankful heart. The choir sang a few minutes ago about written in red. I love you. That's what Calvary said. That is a primary reason that our lives should be worshipful thanksgiving, because of what God has done and continues to do for us. And so the author here is giving us not only practical advice about our worship when we gather together in places like this, but also when we leave these places and go back to our homes, our jobs, our schools, and other places. While in the previous section he speaks of salvation as the fruits of God's mercy and grace. If you go to the previous chapter, the author talks about salvation is the fruit of God's grace and God's mercy, which we are also supposed to herald, that is, tell out. He continues a theme that he began really in chapter 1, verse 15, when we read, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, some of the opponents at the church to which he is writing here insisted that salvation was only for a select few of folks, particularly Jewish Christians and those who would convert to Judaism and then become Christians. But the author here continues to insist on the universal relevance of God's redemption and the good news of salvation, which should bring thankfulness, and its availability through Jesus the Christ, and through our telling out that good news. The prayers he instructs the Christians to make are to be on behalf of all persons. In fact, he even goes on not just to say those who are around you, but for even kings and other authorities. They weren't liked all that well by some of the folks at the time. And yet, he says, even they are deserving of the opportunity for redemption and salvation and giving thanks to God because of that. And you should pray for all persons. I know he uses the word men, but it means all people. He takes for granted that every church will be a worshiping fellowship filled with those who are being saved, who are being redeemed. and who will gather regularly for worship, being united in purpose. That is the purpose of worshiping God and of thankfully telling the good news to others. Often, this is one of the most neglected and unappreciated events by church people, not just others outside the church. In an address to the students at Oxford University in England, not Mississippi, at Oxford University, William Temple stated, "The most effective thing that the Church of Christ can do in the world, and I would add for the world, and the most effective thing that the individual Christian can do is to lift up hearts in adoration to God and then to be thankful for being able to lift hearts in adoration." In other words, we gather together not just to ask the Lord's blessing, but we gather together to adore God and to offer to God proper worship and thanksgiving. Worship is supposed to be a delight for the Christian, but it's also a duty. It's a delight when we approach it with expectation and anticipation, not only of what we are going to receive, but what we are going to offer to God ourselves, whether vocally or quietly. But it is also a duty or an expectation from God for we who are Christian. As we worship fully, we can and should grow to new heights as our lives and our spirits are refreshed and enriched by God and by the fellowship of others around us. But we must do our part. And when we do our part, and we are all part of worship, we are challenged and expected then to herald God's works. God's works for us and God's works for others. A part of this is through prayer. In fact, he lists some kinds of prayer. We should come with supplication, our requests to God, with other kinds of prayers which include intercession on behalf of those around us and those outside of our fellowship, and prayers of thanksgiving. Prayers of thanksgiving. We pray not just privately, but we are to pray publicly for all persons, including leaders, including royalty, including that person down the street that we don't get along with and seems to really be a pain, and we wonder why in the world God doesn't just get them another job somewhere else so they can move. Why? Because God desires all persons to be saved. That's one of those verses I like to bring up to some of my Calvinistic friends every so often. The text says, "For God desires that all men," S-I-C, persons, "should be saved." And God desires that all persons would lead quiet and peaceable lives, godly and respectable. It's not just about being saved, it's also about living those kinds of godly lives, peaceable with ourselves and with others, filled with honor and respect. By the way, if you read this passage, you will note that in these verses from chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, the word "all" is used four times. It's pretty important. It's not just a select few, but it is all. That means everyone, the whole, not just a portion. To live quietly, quiet lives, that is, not busybodies. Truly interested in what others need, as well as what ourselves, but not so that we can get one up on them, but so that we can indeed live lives of thanksgiving and share with them when we know their need. Peaceable. Being at peace with God first, and with others, and then with ourselves. Not insisting on what they do, but to seek to find peace and find out what they need and help others to find their place in God's kingdom and in God's fellowship. Praying for others and being thankful for them, and being thankful even for the chance to minister to them and with them. We should offer God thanks for the opportunities we have to minister together. And not just in the good times, but even in the difficult times. I don't know that I go quite so far as the ancient Christian Chrysostom, but he once wrote that we should be thankful to God for everything, even hell itself. That there's no realm of the universe for which we should not be thankful to God, for God is the creator and sustainer of all of life. We should live godly lives and respectful, that is, honest and serious. Godliness, actually in this particular connection, godliness means religion, doesn't mean you wash behind your ears. It means pious observances of our religion. Strong practitioners of our faith. That means we have to practice it. But not self-righteous. Godliness here means that we work hard at living our faith with God and with others. And to live lives that are respectful. That is, honest and serious in lifestyle and in prayer for salvation for everyone. And in treating others with respect, out of thanksgiving to God, for they too are imago Dei. They too are image of God, just as much as we are. To pray that all will find knowledge of the truth, that is the Christian faith, knowledge intellectually and knowledge of the heart, knowledge that leads to repentance, and knowledge that leads to thankful living of our Christianity. And we're told by the writer that this is what is good and acceptable before God, because God desires that all persons would be saved, would come to God, even through our lives and the way we live them. And when we herald the gospel, giving not only thanksgiving for our salvation, but heralding thanksgiving for others as well, then others can come to know the truth of Christ and the truth in Christ. And guess what? It's not just Chris's job or TJ's job or the Sunday school teacher's job or my job. It is all of our jobs together and individually to be heralds of the truth. The author says here, he is a herald of the gospel. He is one who is called to tell out. But then again, are we not all as Christians called to tell out? And to be heralds of thanksgiving because of what God does in us and through us and for us? It pleases God when we pray for the salvation of others. But it pleases God even more when we actually tell others of the good news of God's grace, God's forgiveness, to share it regularly. Inside and outside the church is to give thanksgiving to God. Why and what do we herald as the truth? Well, there's a very compact statement here. A very compact liturgical statement. Almost a creed. Well, it is a creed. In the liturgy. It's a creed for thankful living and giving thanksgiving to God. There is one God. There are no others. It's one God for all. Not just for us, but for all. Secondly, there is one mediator between God and humans. Third, that mediator is the human mediator. Jesus the Christ. God in the flesh. Not some ultimate spirit man, but God who was present in the flesh so that we might know how to live and so that we might have redemption from God. Because both as God and man, He gave Himself as ransom for all. He gave Himself as ransom, not just for you, not just for me, but He gave Himself as ransom for all. And this was testified at the proper time. And we then are to be holy heralds of thanksgiving for that good news that God gives, for that grace that He brings. Being heralds of thanksgiving with verbal prayers, but more so with grace and thankfulness. Heralds that will understand and will tell others not just about the good times, but that God is present even in the difficult days. Heralds who will live out that thanksgiving and herald it by the things that we do, so that, and you might have wondered why Psalm 146 was in parentheses, so that we might truly be able to share with the psalmist in this psalm as heralds of thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked He brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. As heralds of thanksgiving, we also praise the Lord when we set the prisoners free from their captivity to whatever enslaves them. When we help to open the eyes of the blind to the many things that God can give to us and does for us. To lift up those who are bowed down because of circumstances in life or because of an unkind word. To watch over strangers. To help orphans and widows and all of the outcast. And how long do we do this? We are heralds of thanksgiving for all generations as we praise the Lord. Our hymn of thanksgiving. Our hymn as heralds is an invitation. An invitation not just for us to come as we are thankful, but to all who would be thankful to God and share that thanksgiving. Hymn number 797. And our altar is open for any decision that anyone would make as we sing together, "Come, ye thankful people, come." Hymn number 797.